thing. So we stand in front of Dollar Tree and basically he's
such as this thing here.
All right, I'm excited to have a guest.
Cuba is like they're under a dictator.
RTD Live Talk, Detroit's number one YouTube talk show. We are live for a Monday edition of the People's Talk Show. Excited to connect, looking forward to finding out what's on your radar. Lots of subject matter to touch on. And definitely wanted to share my two cents on the recent announcement of the additional weight added with the Chinese renminbi into the SDR basket. As if at this current moment, the people in Asia are really concerned with what the Western forces think about their currency, as well as the direction of the monetary order. But I got my thoughts on that. Of course, we want to get yours as well. A couple other subjects worth touching on, but also ultimately want to just filter through the noise and just, you know, zoom out, look at the bigger picture as to where things are heading. And regardless as to what we're being presented with, ultimately we know the final destination of fiat currencies. They're being rebranded because they're being destroyed. Because they are the primary weapons used to execute this great reset agenda plus some. So anyway, hope everyone's doing well. As always, want to make sure I welcome any first-time viewers. Let me know where you're watching from in the chat. And then when the phone lines open up, would definitely love to hear from you guys directly. And as it's not a talk show unless you have something to talk about. So feel free to bring a topic or whatnot in the chat or give me a call when the phone lines open up. So let's jump right in. I'll acknowledge a couple people. Then get right into the headlines and make sure I leave some time for everyone to call. But for those that are plugged in right now, if you don't mind, hit the thumbs up button. Show your support for the channel. Hopefully the algorithms kick in, more people are notified. And then also click that RTD subscribe button if you're new to the channel. Definitely want to connect with you and help you to see things from a much different perspective other than the lamestream media that we get on the airways. So. All right, let me jump in the chat real quick. We got Crypto Chris Card checking in. Appreciate you, man. James Richter. We got Dude Boy. We got, Chemist and Carrot Juice, if I'm not saying it incorrectly. Was just thinking about this because the yuan is in both the BRICS basket, IMF, SDR basket. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, and of course, the whole IMF, SDR, that's a Western banker's tool. And it's my opinion that the Eastern forces and what they've put together over there is meant to be a counter to what the West is doing. And I think this plays into the multipolar, multi-currency world in reference to some things I want to touch on. So definitely some good thoughts there. All right, we got Witcher's Works. We got Ray Finkel checking in as well. Appreciate you, man. We got, an alternative. We got Joanne checking in. We got... I can't even pronounce that. Rev. Yeah, I'm not. I see you, but I can't pronounce that. I'm not sure if that's even a word. Mass Administrator checking in. What else we got? Christine checking in as well. Appreciate you. Tony B as well. Appreciate the heads up, TB, for bringing that SDR article to the chat. Definitely going to chime in on it. Feel free to call in. Let me know your thoughts on it. All right. So let's jump in, man. Let's jump in right away. So, let me just go here, and I got so many windows open. Let me just jump right into the primary one. Okay, so here I got, you know, several articles referring to the same thing, but just they all give a different perspective. So I'm going to rant a little bit on it and then open up the phone lines and try to get more calls in today. But just a little, you know, something worth chewing on. IMF increases the weight of the U.S. dollar and Chinese yuan in the SDR basket. And then this article here just gives a little bit more detail summarizing the actual article that was given over the weekend by the IMF officially. So it basically just broke things down, made it a little bit easier to dissect. And so ultimately I'll thumb through these bullets here, then show you a visual representation of it. And then we can add on to it accordingly. But it says, what you should know, the updated SDR weight maintains the same ranking as the initial weights established in 2015 assessment, except a couple changes. Basically, the U.S. dollar got a bump up. And then, of course, the Chinese yuan got a bump up as well. Nothing significant, but to me, it more so shows the Western forces trying to pacify China in this transition period, because it's my opinion that at this current moment, with what the West has done to the world by basically hijacking all financial railways, utilizing the reserve currency status, we've abused our privileges. And so we owe our creditors, as well as the nations that actually produce real value, i.e. all the stuff made in China. So we owe them, technically speaking, a lot more than just about a 1.4, 1.3% increase in that basket. But then again, in my opinion, this is all just a little bit of a cover up. And I think in this next world structure, this SDR stuff will not even have the weight that it does now, because the world won't acknowledge it, in my opinion. But anyway, here, so bump down in euro, the yen, and the British pound. I think the euro, the euro is on its way out, unfortunately. IMF said that in a statement, its executive board has determined the weighting based on trade and financial market condition developments from 2017 and 2011. And within that four-year time frame they're referring to, it's been known that, you know, China has, but basically from a gross domestic product, as well as a, other measurements were, ultimately surpassed the U.S. as the number one leading nation in a couple categories. So, you know, to bump them up just that bare minimum, you know, doesn't really do them any justice. But anyway, so this is just some things here to summarize this article right here. So this is the primary article, came out of IMF from this weekend, and it goes through lengthy, whatever, a lot of spiel. Giving some percentages here, but ultimately these five currencies here, I have a different opinion, because I'm not a financial investor, hedge fund operator, or international trader, you know, that relies upon the strength of these fiat currencies in day-to-day operations. Because once again, these fiat currencies here, they're ultimately debt instruments, and they're used in an international payment system to settle debts, as well as just to shore up the trading baskets of the what I'm trying to say here. They're basically utilized on the international scene to settle trade, as well as settle debts. And ultimately, the strength of the Dixie right now ultimately doesn't put any more purchasing power in my pockets immediately, but it does impact the price of the goods and services brought into this country, as well as those that are exported out. So that's a more complicated matter there that a lot of people like to pay attention to, where me personally on this channel here, I just say there's no financial future in a Federal Reserve note in the long run. So I think people can understand that in a more simple term. Anyway, just get to a couple more articles here, then I'll get to that visual aid, and then I'll share my opinion on how this weight doesn't really carry much weight in the bigger picture, just because I don't think China is going to sit around and wait for the IMF and the Western bankers to continue to dictate things the way they have. But anyway, more information here. So this goes back a little bit for those that may not be too familiar with it, but this goes back to the initial inclusion of the Chinese yuan into the system and how it was positioned and sold at that point. It says IMF to add China's currency to the SDR basket. So this is February 2016, and it became official October 2016. And just some buzzwords here that let you know what the initial intention in including the SDR, or including the yuan into the SDR basket, what it was about. And I think initially it was designed to acknowledge China's presence on the international stage, give them the credit for what they have been able to do over the last, 30 years since they've opened up their borders and been the primary provider of all goods and service, or goods rather. And so it says the Chinese currency will be treated as a reserve currency alongside the other SDR currencies, US dollar, the euro, pound sterling, and the yen. It will be easier for any country's central bank to use the yuan as a reserve or a store of value to exchange with their own currency or pay international debts. So ultimately speaking, this basket of currencies, as it says here, is for central banks to utilize as reserve currencies on their balance sheets, as well as to pay international debts. So once again, you and I will never have SDR or special drawing right access. is just for a way for the bankers to settle up banker issues. Says the inclusion of the yuan into the SDR basket means that developing countries, which have increased trade linkages with China, can keep the yuan as part of their reserves and use it to settle trade with China. Sweet and simple. And so the bankers doing banker things. And so just let's look at this board of bankers or international financiers that are the ones setting the trade weight or the weight of this special drawing rights, which is the IMF currency that, you know, the Western nations, I think, still want to try to pull off on the world. But I don't think it's going to run smoothly. So here we have IMF executive directors and the voting power. And so here is executive board is responsible for conducting the day-to-day business for IMF. It composed of 24 directors who are elected by member countries or by groups of the countries and the managing director. Okay, so sweet and simple here. You look at the people on the board here. It already favors the leading currencies. And of course, China had to get a seat. You can't have the leading producer of all manufactured goods that's used in every country not have a seat and carry a lot of weight in proportion to the other currencies. And this was done within the last, 6 years now. So we have here's Elizabeth Cortino is a vacant seat, looks like. There's two people from Japan. There's a Gene whatever from China. And these are some, there's a measurements of their votes here according to their country. So they carry a little bit more weight. They carry 6%. The U.S. carries 16.5% as far as the overall voting capacity. Then you have here smaller countries, Scandinavian countries, Middle Eastern countries here that, carry a little bit of something. Not much, 5.4%. Then you got Germany that carries, Germany in itself carries 5.3%, 5.31 of the vote. Then you have some South American countries here that equate to 4.53%. Then you have more countries here and islands that looks like more of the islands. The was at the Pacific, if I'm not mistaken, islands here. So here we go. This is a little weight right there. Then we got some Eastern European countries here. So this is the breakdown of the voting power. But then again, look at the very top, the leading, the most weight is up at the top with China, Japan, the United States and Europe in between. So it doesn't surprise me whatsoever that those individuals on the board would vote in the increase of the dollar slightly as well as the yuan slightly. But yet, once again, this is all smoke and mirrors because ultimately speaking, as I just mentioned, you know, those currencies there are for the banker's agenda down the line. The SDR, whether it be a digital representation or the actual basket of currencies that's ultimately used to further enslave nations, I don't think it's going to be a part of the game plan moving forward. And I'm going to get into why I believe that is the case, just because it's a Western-driven entity. The IMF, the World Bank, all those entities that were created by the West, they're also trying to orchestrate this transition. At the same time, Asia and Russia have already made it clear that they're not going to follow suit in the way that the West would like for them to, or that's the way it's being presented to us on the outside. And so time will tell, but ultimately speaking, the SDR, I don't think it's going to have the exact impact that the Western bankers want to have, because there's going to be a multi-currency, multipolar, multi-structural infrastructure at play pretty soon. And it's being worked on right now, in my opinion. But anyway, let's move to a couple more here. Before I rant any further, let me actually share with you the one visual aid that I wanted to, that I use as a thumbnail, just so you guys can see the visual representation of the weight structure. And, small percentages add up at the end of the day, but when it adds up in a fiat structure that's being rebranded, I don't think it carries as much weight as they would like for it to overall. Definitely no confidence. So here's the actual visual aid that I use for the thumbnail here. I grabbed this off the internet, but it just gives you an idea from 2015 up to today. And of course the pound took a little bit of a decrease. And then we have the yen taking a dip. We got the yuan taking an increase, the euro taking a dip. And I think definitely with the euro, the European EU Commission right now being caught in the middle of the tug of war. So ultimately what's going to boil down, European Union is, it's an experiment that's failing. because you can't take 19 countries and all their problems, put them together and expect things to work out smoothly. So what we're witnessing is a tug of war between the West and the East. The East meaning Asian countries and Russia, particularly when it comes to energy, and the West that's kind of dictating what EU does in reference to how they treat Russia and these sanctions or whatnot. And so I did a video earlier about how Russia or EU is breaking, they're breaking ship from the Western powers that be, just because they stand to lose the most when it comes to energy as well as agriculture needs. So I think there's going to be a definite changing of the guard pretty soon, where the EU might end up going through some disaster, some real tough times moving into this winter. And I think that's when they're going to start breaking ship. And we'll see who they all stand with, whether it be the East or the West. In my opinion, is going to be whoever actually provides real world goods, referring to the East. But anyway, here, just some breakdowns of over the last couple of years, how things have fluctuated. And of course, we're seeing the yen implode because of, you know, the monetary policy and the fiscal collision in Japan is definitely going to lead to a hell of a civil event occurring real soon when all those people's savings that are in the yuan or in the yen is lost. Okay, let's keep it moving. So if the SDR basket, in my opinion, is more to pacify China on a public sense, then what is the bigger picture that we should be paying attention to? And this all has to do with the de-dollarization process that has been well underway, which I think you cannot ignore because it is being built out as we speak. And it's just a matter of time, in my opinion, before some light switch comes on, acknowledging gold in a new role or a revisiting gold or revisiting an older role that gold used to play in establishing trust in this next system, temporarily speaking. And so let me get to a couple articles here that I think is of importance because let me see here. Let me go here. So this is, let me zoom out some. So to get a much broader view as to what we should be concerned with is the collaboration and partnerships between Russia and China. Like, that is something that is being downplayed in the West because they want to make it seem like, you know, Russia's losing the war and China, even though they had the internal problems, I'd imagine they knew about their fiat debt credit issues well in advance. That's why they are probably sitting on the largest gold stash in human history that might be announced or, you know, shown in some near future event. So they are literally sitting on some things in a greater form of weight, to where I don't think the SDR weight of their currency is really of importance. Because ultimately speaking, the SDR basket, as I mentioned before, it's ultimately designed to settle debt transactions amongst nations. I mean, because this is nothing. They're nothing. I think there's a smidgen of gold in that basket, but then again, they don't even want gold to be considered something as a standard or something of value, really. So it'll never come up from these entities here. It's going to have to be brought up by somebody else, and that's why I think China and Russia will probably be the ones that do that. But real quick, let me just jump on some headlines here. This is what the world should be paying attention to: the collaboration and cooperation between Russia and China. So these are some older headlines, but I've been touching on them for quite some time because I think they carry more weight than an increase of the yuan in the SDR basket, as if, like, you know, I don't think China's really concerned with, oh, they increased us, you know, 1.something% in the basket. We are now on the international stage. No, they're building a whole new infrastructure. So here's this headline: China and Russia declare a new era of multipolarity, challenging U.S. interventionism. That's a hell of a statement right there. A multipolarity. So that is what's going on. Multi, not a single Western-led government structure, monetary system. You throw it all out there. I don't think those two people there want anything coming from one particular nation. And I think at some point down the line, they're gonna have issues with themselves. But anyway, this is from an older article just talking about how the deals that's been going on in Russia and China, they're growing, they're continuing to do what they have to do. And they're ultimately looking to, as it says, in this new era, a trend has emerged towards redistribution of the power in the world. So what type of statement is that? The redistribution of power in the world. Do you think that they are even thinking about the weight that they carry in an SDR basket? Yeah, I don't think so. Then here's another headline. Russia and China are leading a new world order, Russian foreign minister says. So once again, what type of new world order are they attempting to lead? Do you think it has anything to do with what the West wants? the way it's been presented to us, SDR baskets and things like that, my guess would be no. And so more information there, but these are just some subjects worth mentioning. So what are some counters to what the IMF, World Bank, and all those other Western-led entities are doing? And it happens to be right here, the real role of the AIIB in China's New Silk Road Initiative. So once again, even though economic conditions are not favorable, I think the framework and the foundation has been laid for the Belt and Road Initiative to continue to move forward. And I think the dollar reserves that are still on the books of China, as well as whatever Russia may be holding on to, they've been using that to develop and to build out the infrastructure for the SCO, Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the Silk Road here, and the many financial institutions that they've all built. There's, at the top of my head, AIB, we got the BRICS World Bank, we got the... there's a couple more that I've talked about before, but there's more than enough that nations will have to use if they want to mess with these two countries when it comes time to getting real world good. So these are just some things that I think are of more importance than the old Western tools that are no longer relevant. And then you factor in all this talk about gold. And of course, I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on the Fort Knox. I want to definitely connect and see if anybody in the Kentucky area can validate that, verify that picture. But when you keep hearing about Russia and gold, it's like, connect the dots. Russia's link of the ruble to gold is a practical admission of what money is. And so it's just a matter of time before more things come out and we hear about, what's going on. So Tech Etika says Forbes is Chinese owned. Good analysis there. And then just another story here that I'll start ranting and let you guys get your two cents here. So when it comes to the trading standard, i.e. the euro, for example, as I mentioned, they're going to have some severe issues. It says the euro is sliding toward dollar parity for the first time in 20 years. And so that is not a good thing for the Europeans, because that means that life becomes even that much more uncomfortable in reference to the affordability of real goods and services on an international scene, because the euro is of less value when it comes time to settle and trade and things of that nature and to import things into certain countries. So it's going to end up biting the consumers in the behind. But then again, it doesn't help when the dollar, the Dixie, the traded weighted version, is also doing some things apart from today having a slight correction in a sense. But the strength of it in of itself has terrorized the world. When you see headlines, it says dollar strength pushes world economy deeper into slowdown. So, yeah. Debt instruments, man, always come back to bite somebody in the butt. And it's the ones that took out all that debt in reference to nations that will suffer the consequences, because ultimately all the nations that are heavily indebted in dollar denominated terms, they're going to end up having to sell some of their real world natural goods, as well as land and anything else. They're going to have to nationalize a lot of their assets within the country to then have to give it to the IMF, which is like the IMF is like the mediator between the debt-based instruments denominated in Federal Reserve notes, as well as their use of debt to further enslave nations by issuing loans to countries that they know can't even pay it back. Like, that to me is the ultimate sleight of hands. When you send debt to someone, you know they already struggled from debt, you just compound the debt. That sounds like a Ponzi scheme, but it works until it doesn't. And that's why I don't think China and Russia is just, they're playing along with that in a way that will benefit the West entirely. So anyway, a couple more because I can rant, but I'm not. Let's open the phone line. So let's talk. Where did I miss it? What else you guys want to touch on? USD to ruble. Of course, the ruble is, right now, it's proven to be a semi-viable fiat debt instrument when it comes to operating with Russia. Because if you want to get anything out of Russia of substance, probably moving forward officially, you're going to have to pay in rubles. Therefore, strengthening the ruble even more. So, all right, let's talk. Open the phone lines. Anybody got any thoughts, ideas, or whatever you guys want to touch on, bring it to the forefront. Let your voice be heard. This is the People's Talk Show. I don't want to hog the mic all to myself, or throw out some ideas in the chat or some comments or whatnot, and I'll try to touch on them and go from there. So let me zoom out so I can see more. Predatory lending. that's exactly what it is. Great, good stuff, man. Let's keep it moving. It says all the bad stuff is good to be aware of. How about good things and action items? The problem is God will fix it. Nothing you can do, just chill. That's a way of looking at things. I don't necessarily see it that way, this entirety. And so this great segue. So if you have not, look above. If you're watching on the cell phone or desktop, look above. Just doing a little rebranding on my end, looking to cover more subject matter, but narrow it into some categories. So I got three primary categories of which I'm going to try to condense everything I speak on from this platform here into those categories of some capacity. So the very first one is a New World Agenda. I think it's good to keep an eye on the enemy's plans just so people can be informed and aware as to how they progress. And so I'll be talking on all the things happening with the UNW, you know, stuff like that we touch on. But I'm going to try to categorize it so it makes more sense rather than just throwing it in here and there. And so like this little video here be 40 minutes long. I cover everything that crosses my mind, but it's not in order the way I want it to be. So I'll touch on that. The next category is monetary literacy, helping people understand the essence of what money is from a financial standpoint. And that's gold and silver. That's just the best way to preserve, protect, and, you know, shore up yourself on a financial standpoint. So I'm going to still touch on issues to deal with that. That's what the Rethinking Dollar was founded upon. And then the ultimate transition where I get into more of the good news is basically relaying natural world events into the spiritual world, basically talking about the parallel systems that are at play right now. So ultimately what we're experiencing is a collision course of two different kingdoms, two different worlds. We got the natural ran by the enemy of this world here. And then we got the eternal ran by our King himself. That's Jesus Christ who sits on the throne right now and for all eternity. So the collision of those two worlds, but there's a lot of symbolisms, a lot of parallels that we can draw from that doesn't have to be real religious. Like, I don't want to get into the religious thou art, shall not. No, that's the way mankind positioned us to look at it in that way. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on what has been given to me and what I think can be useful to people, because it has more to do with relaying economic issues from the worldly standpoint, from the way the kingdom has also given us the same type of structure. There's a government in heaven. There's a tier system. There's economics in the kingdom of God. There's all types of structures that parallel the natural. I'm going to focus more on that for myself as a good news. So I'm going to try to put together things that would make sense from that standpoint there. It has nothing to do with religion. Like, this is to me just like a, as I mentioned before, we're having a governance crisis. The ultimate government happens to be a monarchy, and it's about one person. His name is Yahweh. Anyway, hello, Carl. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hi, Mike. This is the coolest white dude in Yashkabah, Mexico.
The coolest dude. Doing good, my man. What's on your mind? Give me a quick thought.
I wanted to talk about the 1985 Philadelphia bombing called The Move.
Okay, give us a quick thoughts on that one. What's going on?
Well, I sent you that an article yesterday from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Police Department basically bombed
a neighborhood.
The western part of Philadelphia, fired 10,000 rounds of bullets, tear gas, and that wasn't enough. So the police chief brought in a helicopter and dropped a bomb on, killed 11 people. It went through the court system. There was a settlement for like $2 million and then another settlement for $12 million. Mm-hmm. This is really disturbing. I mean, we see all these bomb pictures in Ukraine and things like that, but this took place in Philadelphia in the United States of Israel. What's your thoughts?
So I've touched on that before. And I mean, so right now on the screen, I got some pictures up referring to that neighborhood that shows like that entire neighborhood was just scorched, referring to the fact that, you know, in times of complete pandemonium, rule of law and things that will be considered inhumane don't apply. So if it happened once, it can happen again. And I think when we're transitioning out of an old government structure to a new one, I think rule of law, as well as respect for human life by government officials in of itself, might be thrown out the window. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like what's happening with the Supreme Court. Like, I think that leakage of what could come is, of course, is a setup. But I think if all parties are all compromised, then, you know, it's no holds bar. Anything is possible. So, but as far as the details of all that, I'm not too well versed, other than the fact knowing that it did happen. And apart from people in the community mentioning it, I had no clue until somebody brought it to my attention. So appreciate you for bringing it up again.
Well, it's very disturbing, and there was 10 convictions of the movement, mm-hmm. which were black folk, mm-hmm. and they were sentenced to like between 30 and like 300 years in prison. The story gets more disturbing mm-hmm. because the perpetrator was the Philadelphia Police Department that yeah. was proven in court.
Yeah.
You know, it's just unbelievable that people don't understand that they're being attacked by their own government.
Right. Right. And it's, yeah. And I think within this decade, more people, unfortunately, will come to that realization. And so that's why I think, you know, it's one thing to focus on what the enemy is doing to us. The enemy, referring to, you know, Satan and his demonic forces, will use anybody. So, you know, it's regardless of skin tone, you know, black, white, yellow, they all use under the influence of satanic purposes to accomplish Satan's goals. So it doesn't surprise me whatsoever, because our government, they're human. So they're definitely fallible, and they're more than in the right position of power to be utilized for destruction. So that's why I think, you know, nobody knows the last breath they're going to take. So it's better to, from a spiritual standpoint, reassure yourself of your salvation if that's of concern to you. But if it's not, you know, hey, then, you know, most people will ignore it anyway. So, but hey, I appreciate you calling. Let me get some more calls in, my man.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, bye. Be good. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Mike, it's low blood pressure, Corpus Christi, West Philly getting bombed. Why don't you call Will Smith? He might slap somebody over that one.
Only LBP, man. What's going on with you?
Hey, now I know why his mom wanted to move to Bel Air. You know, that place is dangerous.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, that was, I'd imagine, you know, it could happen here in Detroit as well. It can happen in every metropolitan area, regardless of race, just because crime is crime, sin is sin, and there's no excuse for it. It's just, that's just the world we're in, man. So it's a tragedy, but yet, it's my opinion, there's a lot more of that stuff coming. So that's why it's better to be on the right side of, you know, your salvation for the most part. But anyway, what's in your thought? What's in your mind, man?
Man, I don't know, man. This dollar strength is pissing me off, man. When's it gonna end? I'm mad.
I guess it depends on, you know, how you're measuring that and what are you trying to do with that.
Like, the milkshake guy, you know, he talks about the dollar strength, and I was watching a video with George Gammon earlier. And man, it's like he's a dollar lover, that guy that was on, the milkshake guy.
Yeah. Brent John, yeah,
man, it makes a lot of sense. It's getting too strong. When the hell is the end? I'm already frustrated of waiting, you know.
Well, that's the thing, like, and that's where from those guys' standpoint, there they talk about, you know, from an investment standpoint and how to protect and how to preserve yourself, utilizing the same thing that they'll probably be willing to admit is a tool that will ultimately be used against them. And so, like, for me, it goes well beyond what I talk about, just because to me, I don't think whether Dixie's strong or not, I'll ever have any more purchase power. Like, so a $100 bill in my hand will never purchase more apart from a deflationary correction, which is in the foreseeable future. So that 100 might be a lifeline for me to get something that's on sale. But then again, that's still not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Because there's going to be a loser on the other end of that trade. So, but it serves its purpose, but you know, in the long run, man, there's no future in the Federal Reserve note, in my opinion.
It seems to me if you want to take advantage of the strength, you have to go foreign. You have to jump a border and spend your dollars abroad.
That is typically how it is done. So that's why a lot of people, you know, have repatriated and not repatriated, but they've denounced their citizenship, moved abroad, and try to escape that and live a more affordable life overseas. But then again, with that comes the safety concerns, because if you live too good in somebody else's neighborhood, they're going to recognize that. And they're going to try to, you know, take some of what you have so they can live good, too, in their own country. So it's going to be a security issue.
Not even safe. They know we're safe. Right?
Exactly. There's nowhere to run from a global reset. That's for sure, because every country is on board.
just a real quick update real quick, and I'll be off.
No problem.
My brother in Yashkaba, I'll be home soon. I'm working on my citizenship. I'm almost there, Mike.
Hey, well, keep us posted, man. Appreciate you.
All right. I'm one step closer.
All right, man. Be good.
All right, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, let's talk. So feel free to give me a call. So far, it looks like we got about 150 or so people. If you don't mind, hit the thumbs up button. Show your support for the channel, even if you're, you know, not one to want to call in or leave a chat out there. And I definitely want to encourage everyone to have a chance to feel comfortable speaking and sharing their thoughts, whether it's, you know, something major, something minor. It's all fine and good here. I want to make sure people feel comfortable being able to talk and share what's on their mind. So do that. It is the People's Talk Show. It's a talk show for the people. Anyway, let's get some more calls in. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Mike. It's Mike from Pacoima, California.
Mike, what's going on, man? What's on your mind?
That dollar milkshake theory.
Yeah. What's going on? What, give me your thoughts on it.
He was saying. So this is the thing about that. Is that dude is right. That Brad Johnson is right.
Yeah.
But what he fails to realize is all that he's saying is Exeter's pyramid. That's all that he's saying.
Yeah.
And he's just missing the final step.
Give it to me.
It's gold.
Oh.
Monetary metal.
Yeah.
It's going to be a regression back to the physical.
Yeah.
So what happens is all these debt and derivatives and all these layers of BS
that
these banks and institutions create out of thin air.
Yeah.
All that perceived value when people are exiting, there's that little triangle that you always have up in the background.
Right,
you know?
I got it up right now.
And it just regresses back to hard assets. So the thing about that is the rest of the world, when we print dollar, when the dollar strengthens here, the rest of the world's currencies usually devalue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more of a demand for dollars because you can buy stuff with it, right?
Right.
But once the rest of the world realizes that the dollar is being affected the same way that their local currencies are being affected, and there's nothing behind it, once that happens, it has to be a worldwide thing. It has to be a complete regression and complete, we're not using this anymore. We're done. We're over it. It's going to be complete shut off of trade.
Right. It's going to ultimately boil down to the necessity and the requirement for another medium of exchange that is trustworthy. And that's why gold is always in the headlines, or has been in the headlines rather, as far as countries deciding to repatriate their gold back home, as well as central banks buying more gold. We got a pension fund in Ohio purchase some gold. We got, you know, all these people getting gold. So everyone who's awake and aware know what the true medium of exchange is. It's just a matter of trying to get the last remaining bits of purchasing power out of these fiat currencies before there will be an announcement, a reset, or something that triggers the initial announcement of, hey, you know, we're no longer going to accept those. We need something real. And as you mentioned, like, you know, it all boils down to, so the extra pyramid is like the risk reward. The greatest risk is at the top of all that stuff, derivatives and bonds and all that dollar, or not all that debt, fiat debt based asset stuff. And go ahead.
With all these trillions of dollars they're going into.
Right.
This perceived value.
Correct.
Is once people lose that faith, that perceived value, it's game over. But it has to be a global thing. It has to be other countries have to. Like, if you look at Venezuela, it was a regression. They actually went to dollars, and then they realized that wasn't really working as well. And then they're starting to actually use little bits and pieces of gold, little grains of gold and stuff. They use barter system too,
Right. Good stuff, man. Well, hey, man, appreciate you.
Localize, grow your own food, stack up your weight, get physical items. Don't keep all your damn digits that you perceive to have value.
Right.
Those digits aren't going to have value.
Right.
Keep it in real, tangible assets.
100%, man. Appreciate your call, my friend.
Hey, have a good one.
Yeah, be good. Good stuff. So I see some thoughts out there. TB says there is no alternative to the dollar. And so, the alternative to the dollar. So, I would say there's no alternative to the Federal Reserve note, because the dollar, you know, from a long monetary viewpoint, you know, several, you know, 100-year type of viewpoint, you know, gold and silver is, you know, how I would define a dollar. I would find on the personal note, I would define a dollar for myself as, you know, for me, a silver a silver coin. That's what I would use as a dollar. I would then, I like to distinguish between a Federal Reserve note, which is the paper debt base, what they're using to manipulate the world with instruments. Then, of course, a gold. You know, gold, of course, is the central bank's preferred method of, you know, shoring up their own liabilities. And so, you know, I think there are alternatives. Now, the system, the structure, whatever, that's to be determined. Who's the head honcho behind all that? But then again, Federal Reserve note and dollar system can't last forever. It will not. So, you know, the thing is, what's the transitionary period? What does that look like? So in the meantime, of course, everybody runs to the dollar. We need it to settle debts, yada, yada, yada. But then again, once again, like I mentioned, it's not giving me any more purchasing power whatsoever at this current moment, the way it's structured. So what is the alternative to the dollar the next 5 years? I think, but there will be some things thrown out there that people will use as not alternatives, but as additional instruments that can be used. And so right now, the ruble, for example, even though it's minor, but for people who want to acquire energy from Russia, the ruble has a value. Now, whether or not I like it or not, doesn't matter. If you want to do business and get gas out of there and all kind of other things, you know, I'd imagine at some point Putin going to only want rubles. So what good would that be? If you don't got rubles, you're not going to do no business. And then, of course, gold. So they're bringing gold back in the equation as well. So there's going to be additional instruments that can be used, I think. Some people might want to say Bitcoin. So to each his own. Let me see here. So let me see. I saw Rochelle. Appreciate you for that thought. It says, keep an eye on the Tether Ponzi as that unravels. A Dixie will spike again. And no, I'm not a Dixie fan. Just seeing it play out in the charts. Go Dixie, S&P rises together. We are done. Yeah, the Tether. So I did see that for a small moment. I think it was on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. You know, there was a major drawdown in the Tether peg. But yet, once again, anything pegged to something that's already dying, there's no stability in it. So all this stuff is unstable. And that's why I think, you know, even talking about this subject matter can be extremely unproductive, just because we're talking about an instrument that everyone can agree is failing. Like, you know, it also boils down to what the caller said before is, you know, perceived value. And what can you acquire with the value, whatever you call that value, at that moment in the present and in the future? So that's one of the things, like, I love to use the Treasury's definition of saying that a Federal Reserve note is only good for what you can acquire when you go to buy it. And I'm thinking, like, right now, what I do need is water, food, and all the necessities for my livelihood is what I need. What I use to get it, I could give less than a damn. Like, well, if I use an ounce of silver or gold or some Bitcoin, Litecoin, I don't care what I use. I just need to know on the other end there's something real that I can acquire when I need it. Whatever I use, I don't care, really. Like, I'm happen to be in the U.S., so I'll use the Federal Reserve note. But if I lived in another country, I would be using that currency. So ultimately, all 7. Whatever billion of us, we need real-world stuff. What we use, unfortunately, has been determined by our government, which has been hijacked by central banks. So they're at the top of all this chaos, basically telling us what we can and can't use. And the only reason we're using it because they want to tax us from it. In a sense, but you get my drift. All right, let's keep it going. What else is going on out here? Swiss cheese. I saw something about Switzerland as well. Let me see here. What I saw something about Switzerland and the Swiss franc. Question RX. It says, did you hear anything about the new food plants burning down recently? So no, I did not. Let me see what food plant. So food plants, let me see, burning down. If there's more burning down, let me see. Let me see. What else? What is the latest? What's the latest one? Let me just go to the news, see if something pops up. So first thing popped up was a fact check. Food processing plant fires that are not part of the conspiracy to trigger U.S. food shortage. So whenever you see anything that's been fact checked, you know to think the opposite. So what I read this as, it says processing plant fires in 2000 are a part of the globalist desire to trigger U.S. food shortage. That's how I read that. So, but no, I'm not aware of any newer plants being taken offline, but it doesn't surprise me at all. It's just a matter of time before they get their way. And here's the biggest thing, like, the way things are progressing, we're moving forward anyway. And all the big financiers of this debt, of this destruction, nothing's really going to happen to them. They won't be brought to justice. You know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they're still funding all the things that they're using to further enslave humanity because our government's in on it. So I think it's more so with the knowledge we do have on today, what can we do to further prepare ourselves, but also not focus so much on what the enemy is doing, but focus on what we're called to do. And I think our true provision and purpose comes in the spiritual essence of what it has to be greater than what the enemy is doing to us. Like that's why, as I rant before, I can't continue to talk about, you know, events as they unfold on a day-to-day basis, because that defeats the calling upon my life. I have to talk about greater things. And ultimately, we're going to witness. This is where it gets a little spooky, but we're going to witness large losses of life. It's inevitable. It's written in stone. From people who willingly participate to people who don't even know, as the caller mentioned, you know, our political leaders, they're in bed with the same people that's trying to take us out. And if the goal is to reduce the population of this planet, then that's a lot of souls. And as I mentioned before, the greatest commodity in human existence is the human soul. And so if that is the case, I believe that. May not everybody not believe that. But if I realize that, then I kind of feel like, man, I have to do something about that. I have to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, trying to basically help people come into the flock of my Lord and Savior. Because if not, those are going to be lost souls. And you only get one chance in this life to get it right. And of course, the way I believe things. And so I have to talk more about things that can build people up, set them on the pathway for eternity's sake. And that's why I'm excited to talk more about, as I call it, kingdom economics, just because I think there's a lot of things we can learn that doesn't have to be real religious. Like that's spooky to me. I want to talk on stuff that can be applied today. And according to God's word, hold him accountable to his word so that he can act on our behalf. So that's kind of where I'm excited to head as the days unfold. But, you know, it's going to be a journey because I've never done this before. Like, I can admit, I don't know what I'm doing. And that's the humbleness inside of myself. I can say, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm relying upon the Lord to guide me, because if not, I'm going to make a fool of myself. But I'm about that, because what else do I have? What else do I have? I'd rather make a fool of myself in the Lord's name than do it in my own name and really, really look dumb. At least I can say, hey, Lord, you told me, you put that in my heart. It didn't work. It's also on you. I did what you told me to do. Anyway, I'm tired of ranting. What else we got here? Rochelle says, what she said, peak prosperity. Peak Prosperity did a great analysis on this in the latest vid about energy. It's called I Give Up. Yeah, I'll check that out. I'm not going to give up. I just got to reshift there. I got to do things more genuine to myself. Like, and that's where... Yeah, just, you know, I mean, I'm learning, man. I'm trying to grow in the Lord, and I'm grateful to be awake and alive in this day and age, because, you know, we need, I think, more men of faith, more women of faith willing to stand on their spiritual foundations for the Lord's sake. Like, it gets real. Anthony, appreciate the love offer, my friend. All right, but I can rant forever. I'm not. Let's get one more call, and then we're going to dial back. And, keep pressing forward, man. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yeah, Mike, Steve, FEMA Region 9.
Steve, what's going on, my man?
Hey, I know we're getting toward the end of the show here, but maybe LBP can call back in tomorrow and give us an update on those 6 power plants that went offline.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Down there in Texas, I was hoping he said something about it while he was on the air when he called earlier. But,
yeah.
Steve, you can call us tomorrow and give us an update on that. I think they told him that just run your air condition at 78 degrees or higher. What? How are you going to run air conditioning at 78 degrees? You might as well just turn it off and go outside.
Exactly. Open the window, put a fan. But then again, I heard it was like 100 degree days and stuff that we don't have to deal with up here in Michigan. So I ain't too mad. But I got an article on right now talking about scorching heat threatens Texas power grid again. This was as of 40 minutes ago. So it says, ERCOT asked people to limit their electricity usage over the weekend after hot weather caused 6 power plants to fail, but temperatures are staying up there statewide. So, yeah, it'd be good to live by some water to go cool off.
I think we're gonna see this power stuff nationwide.
Oh.
I know California, we have them out here already. The rolling, brown rolling blackouts or whatever.
Yeah,
but I think we're gonna see it nationwide. So everybody go get those solar generators and stuff.
Right.
I'm about to get another one myself.
Right. It won't hurt to have more than you need, just in case you don't need them. Then that's all good. You're covered. Energy insurance.
Well, I know. Well, hopefully, LBP can call back in tomorrow and give us an update on what's going on down there with that power grid.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
That's all I got.
Okay, man. Appreciate you calling in. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. I forgot all about that. So got too long on one of my rants. So appreciate you.
No
be good, man.
Take care.
Yep. All right, so LBP, you hear that? So as well as any of our other, you know, brothers and sisters in Texas that might, you know somebody or might be in those areas where the power plants went down, definitely keep us up to date. Definitely would love to, you know, everything we experience that happens in, you know, our lives or in this community, our real world experience that we can learn from, and it further incentivizes people to try to prepare in that particular area if it's possible. But yeah, once again, you can only do so much, but you know, we like to just try to stay ahead as best we can, but ultimately, we know what time it is. You know, they're going to continue to press in, lean in against us, make our lives very uncomfortable. And of course, outside of the World Health and UN situation unfolding, the probability of that stuff going through, if not, you know, the next week or a week after that, at some point in the future, you know, their plans. And it's sad to say that, you know, from a long-term perspective, like, we have to get to the point where things are completely destabilized and people are forced to acknowledge the season we're in. Like, you know, we're approaching certain facets of what has always been labeled end times. Like, you know, you can't not ignore these events as they're unfolding, but some people want to ignore them. But then again, you know, I just can't pretend like it's not there right in front of me. But all right. It says, let's keep it moving. So anyway, so we're approaching 50 minutes, man. As always, I appreciate everybody for hanging out with me. And as I mentioned, you know, like, you know, moving forward, just trying to do things a little bit different on my part here. And I ask that you be patient with me and be willing to grow with me, especially in the spiritual side of things, because I believe if we, you know, seek, we will find. And definitely I'm seeking a better clarity on understanding the kingdom keys that God promises for those that are members of his household. So through that comes the unlocking, I believe, of things that are destined for this time right now. Like, and when the Bible talks about, you know, greater works will we do in Christ, I believe that this is a time where we can try to look into some of those works. I know I'm interested in those works. And so hopefully you guys are as well, and we can grow together and make a difference for the kingdom, because that's what it boils down to, I think, in the end, winning souls for the kingdom. Because, you know, it's one thing to focus on life in this time frame here, but between now and my next breath, I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to make the effort and energy count so that the investment of my time will have a eternal reward in reference to being able to deposit into my heavenly account. Through my acts and my deeds, as well as everything that I try to do in love. So, but anyway, I can go on and on, but I'm not. But definitely excited to, you know, just do something a little different on my end. But enough of me, rant. Let's close out a little bit of prayer as always. Want to lift up the King for his awesomeness and just thank him for the opportunity to continue to call on the name of Jesus, to say the word Jesus, whatever language you might call it in, Jesus in Spanish, in Espanol, or whatever it might be, but just in a country where we can freely talk about the kingdom of God and just to let those words roll off our tongue in honor and respect for the creator himself. It's a privilege right now. And I'm grateful to be able to have the ability to speak freely still, to give honor where it's due and to acknowledge my allegiance to my heavenly government, because that's where my source comes from. So I can admit that with no shame whatsoever, but the goal is to get more people to do that as well. And I think we can make a heck of a difference in people's lives in general. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather today on this Monday to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for all the events that unfolded. We thank you that we made it through another weekend into another week. We ask you to allow us to have a heart and a passion after the things that you do, Father, which are to continue to expand your family. You want a big family. And I think the best way to do that is for your believers, your church, your body, Lord, to be active right now and to be laborers in the harvest, because it's abundantly available for us to do so, Father. Give us courage, give us strength, allow us to just be led by your spirit, operate in love, and to treat other people like we want to be treated. And in doing so, we'll be a light that shines bright in this dark world. And I just thank you in advance for what you have done and will do. In the mighty name of the King, amen. All right, people, that's all she wrote. And back at it again tomorrow, Lord willing. And other than that, just keep plugging along. Stay prayed up. Get prepared up. Get your weight up. Do everything you can in a practical sense. But then ultimately, you all know that it falls on the Lord to live up to his part, which is to provide your every need like he always has. So anyway, be blessed. Safe. Peace.